In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for that hymn. That was really wonderful. It was, I kind of got a little giddy out there in the middle of the aisle. Let light shine out of darkness. St. Paul said those words to those early Christians at Corinth. Back in the first century, you know, the world of the first century Christians was vastly, drastically different than ours today. In the first century, there was, of course, a very different culture. There was obviously very different technology. The world's population was much smaller, and communication was far slower. And not just on top of that, but Christianity was barely a blip on the world's radar. All of that being different, we still live in the same world. And people are still people. Like the Roman world of the first century, our world also is a world that is full of darkness. Let light shine out of darkness. Jesus is transfigured on that mountaintop. He was not transformed. He was not changed fundamentally in any real way. But what was changed was that for a moment, those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they got to see Jesus for who Jesus really was. Christ's light shines so bright, the Bible tells us that his clothes even became dazzling white, so much that it couldn't be bleached that way on earth. This was the light that Christ was, shining out into a dark world. This was, as the Gospel of John refers to it, as the Word that was made flesh. The very image of God the Father. And just like in our own world, God's image in those days and today, God's image is obscured by so many things. God's image becomes obscured by all kinds of sin, by violence, by fear, by greed, and by power. These things that are blinders, they are inward looking. These things are idols that humanity puts between ourselves and God. And they bring shade over that light. But we have to remember that light does not disappear. It's just hard to see. Because, you know, the funny thing about light is sometimes it can be really hard to not notice it. The last night, sort of funny, I came into the sacristy and I was just kind of getting some things ready for the service, and I noticed, you know, after 5 years, you'd think I would notice these things. But I noticed, I was looking, there's a little light switch. You know, of course, you know, what do? I never noticed that before, so turn it on. Well, as soon as I did that, Jenny walks into the sacristy. Sorry to put you on the spot here. She walks in, she goes, "Oh, wow, it is so bright in here." You know, that's what happens when, you know, you like walk into a bright room from a dark outside, or you're in a dark place inside and you walk out into the sunlight. All of a sudden, the light is so bright, you want to look away. Because we become so comfortable with the darkness. Let light shine out in the darkness. God has been calling us out of the darkness since the beginning of time. In the creation narrative, God even sets two lights to guide us, one by day and one by night. God never leaves us in the dark. And on that holy mountain, Jesus As you can see in one of the windows back there, the scene of the Transfiguration, Jesus is accompanied by the two great prophets of Judaism, by Moses and Elijah. It's partly as an acknowledgement that Jesus is the greatest among the prophets. But it's not even that Jesus is just the greatest among the prophets. It is that Jesus is a fulfillment of the prophets' teachings. Amen. And it reminds us that Jesus is connected to the past just as much as Jesus is connected to the future, to all time. It is a reminder that this story is just one chapter in a long arc of history where Christ is present. One point that God was trying to show that light. And one reminder that God will show that light in even the darkest of places. Yes, let light shine out in the darkness. God also reminds us of another thing, that the Word made flesh is still Word. And to receive the Word, we have to open our ears and listen. Just as they were trying to figure out what was going on, and the disciples were wanting for something to say, and poor Peter, who has to fill the silence with something, "Master, it is good that we're here. Let us build those tents for you and Elijah and Moses." Just as they were getting there, the cloud overshadows them, and a voice comes from above, and it says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Amen. We are called to listen to Christ's teachings, but not just to listen to them, but to live them. We are called to love one another, to put aside self. As Jesus went down from this mountain, he went to the crucifixion. We are called to put self aside. We are called to know that we are made for light. Literally, you think about this. Our bodies cannot survive without sunlight. Now, we try to cheat, right? We put vitamin D in milk. Yeah, I mean, that kind of gets a little bit. But we cannot live without the light. Our bodies literally feed off of it. And in the same way, our souls feed off the celestial light. But of course, as I talked about already, when we are not accustomed to the light, sometimes our eyes need to adjust, and we need to take little steps into the light. We are fast approaching Lent. It's 3 days away. It begins this Wednesday. Lent is a time that is dedicated to reflection, to self-denial, and to sacrifice. Of course, for many Christians, many people think that Lent is a good means that a good Christian has to stop eating chocolate for 40 days. And it doesn't really help this year that Lent starts on February 14th. But you know, Lent is not just about giving up arbitrary things. Lent is not a diet plan or an AA meeting. Now, that does not mean that taking care of your body and your mind are not good spiritual disciplines. They certainly are. But it's deeper than that. Lent is about peeling away those things that obscure the light from our lives. And those things that we give up or that we take on should be meaningful to our spiritual lives. When we think about what we are going to give up for Lent, we should think especially of those things that keep us from living fully a holy life in harmony with God, with creation, and with one another. I think it is no coincidence that Lent falls this time of year. In fact, the name Lent in English comes from the Old English word Lenten, which was the word for spring. But here we are approaching a season in which we will go cross over the spring equinox, a time when the days become longer as we approach the light of summer. Let light shine out in darkness. The St. Paul says there, for it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are called as Christians not only to strip away anything that shades the light from our own eyes, but we are called to go out and bring light to the world. This is a world that is hurting, a world that is aching, a world that is longing for the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a world that needs to know it is loved, needs to know that it is forgiven, and it needs to know that it is embraced. This is a world that needs to see an example of love for one another. A world that needs to see the church, a community of believers who love one another and forgive one another, and then go out and teach that same love to a broken and dark world. This is a dark world that needs to see the light that Christ brings. Let light shine out of darkness. Amen.